This is one of our local church episodes where we interview a local church pastor, someone in the area of Carson City, Carson Valley, surrounding areas, Northern Nevada. And we get to hear what God is doing in that church, what makes that church unique, what is their history, where do they think God is leading them, where they're going. We have a lot of great churches in this area, in the Carson City area, and they're different, and that is good. And so we are going to hear an interview with Kirk Kaczorki from Hilltop Community Church. Listen in. If you are new to the area and you don't have a church, this is one of those churches you should consider visiting. If this is your church, listen in and celebrate. God is doing good things. If this is not your church and you are already committed to a local church, great. Continue to serve, give, and be part of the mission God is doing there. But then listen to this so that you can celebrate what God is doing at Hilltop. Maybe when you drive past, you say a prayer for God to bless what God is doing there. And then we can know. We look forward to more opportunities right now for churches to partner, for churches to even just love one another. You know, Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And I'm going to be totally honest, as a local church pastor, there is a change happening in our area. It's been happening for a little while, but God is bringing these churches together in a different way than has happened, I think, ever before. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do with that. So listen to this interview with Kirk Kaczorki from Hilltop Community Church, located in South Carson City.
Your church, we pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your might.
Well, I am here with Kurt, the lead pastor of Hilltop Community Church. Kurt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. Well, give us a quick history of Hilltop Church.
Yeah, so the quick history would be the church was planted in the Ranchos in the late 70s. And so there were a group of people down there that were looking for a church similar to what they'd experienced in the Bay Area at Peninsula Bible Church. And that was where Ray Steadman was at that point in time, Bob Smith. And so they went back to PBC and they said, hey, we're looking for somebody that we could plant out here. And at that point in time, Joel Berger had just finished his seminary stuff not remember the name of the college off the top of my head, but he had just finished seminary. And then, so they grabbed him from, he had gone to PBC, he had heard Ray Steadman speak at his seminary, and then he ended up landing an internship at PBC. And so Bob Smith was mentoring Joel, and they sent Joel out this way in the late 70s. And so the church was planted there as primarily a Bible teaching church at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And
at that point in time, so that's changed?
No. Oh, well, I think what I would say at that point in time is the people that started that church felt like they needed a church that focused on exegetical teaching.
There was a need in the area
for exegetical Bible, you know, line by line, verse by verse Bible teaching.
Yep.
And so that's what they want. That's what they'd experienced at PBC. That's what they wanted in Gardnerville. And so that's what they were searching for. And they felt like Joel was the guy to deliver that. And I think he did for many, many years. Obviously, that church was planted there in the late 70s. In the 90s, it moved up to the hill here where we're at now.
Hence Hilltop.
It was Carson Valley Community Church for a while. And then they changed the name to Hilltop. So Ranchos Community Church, Carson Valley Community Church, and now Hilltop Community Church.
So a lot of history.
Church. Yeah, there's some history there.
Yep, been here a while.
And then, so that's what's gone on over the years with that. And I would say in the last 4 years, well, 2 years, Joel retired in January 2020.
Okay.
And so in the last 2 years, we've gone through a fair amount of transition. Still a community church, still a Bible teaching church. But I would say we've shifted our focus just a little bit to be maybe a little bit of a wider focus than we had before.
Well, let's talk about that maybe with this next question of what makes Hilltop unique, and maybe that's part of it. So
yeah. So in 2018, we started to have some discussions with an outside group called Visioneering, and Visioneering came in and they were helping us look at what are we doing with our campus, where are we going. What are some of the things that we see as needs in the community? They did a bunch of different research and things for us. They had people come out and actually hang out within our congregation. We held a big meeting that was like leadership plus members of the congregation. And when they got to the other side of that meeting with us, they told us, they said, you really are a strong community church. And there's a strong sense of community. But sometimes if you've ever been to a family reunion and you don't really know a lot of the people, or maybe you're just married into the family and you go to the family reunion, they said that's kind of what it feels like as an outsider coming in. It's kind of hard to break through. It's kind of hard to break through the barriers of the community that exists here. And it's not that you're not welcoming. It's just that there's a tight-knit community and people are feeling like maybe they can't quite get into it. And so at that point in time, we said, well, we need to kind of look at what we're doing and why we're doing it and what's our vision. And one of the phrases that came up over and over again during that time was that Hilltop felt like home to people. So we kind of took that Hilltop means home thing and we ran with it. And so our vision right now is that we're a home for the growing family of God.
I like it.
And people will ask me, they'll say, what do you mean growing? Do you mean like numerically more people or do you mean spiritually? And I say, yes.
Sure.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yes.
Both of those things. We want to see the church grow numerically as new people. You know, there's a lot of people coming from California. They're looking for a church home. We want to be able to be a place where they can land.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping this podcast helps people get excited about, the church growing. I mean, that's if a church is healthy, it's going to grow. It's going to reproduce.
And so there's a little bit of like knowing that the, so there's a neighborhood going in down the street from us here. There's, you know, Northern Nevada is growing like crazy. And so we want to be a place where people can land and feel like it's home for them. And that means that the mentality of the existing community here needs to think that way. We're looking for new faces. We're welcoming. And then I would say the other side of it is, while there was a strong emphasis on Bible teaching, evangelism was something that wasn't really, it didn't have a strong emphasis. It was definitely there, but it wasn't something that we said, this is super important to us and we want it to be a part of what we do. Now, you and I, we've both worked with Josiah Venture. Missions group in the Czech Republic. And Dave Patty developed what they call the five challenges of Christ, right? And so the five challenges of Christ, there's that stage where people come for, come and see. And so maybe you don't know anything about Jesus and you just want to learn. Maybe you have misconceptions about Jesus and you need to hear who he is truly from the Bible. And so there's that come and see stage, the follow me or the repent and believe would be the next thing. So you come and see, you learn about who Jesus is, but eventually he's going to ask you to change the way that you live and follow him as Lord. And so we know that there's people that are here to come and see. We know there's people that need that opportunity to repent and believe. And then that next stage is follow me. And so that's where you're kind of learning about who you are in Christ. Who's God? Who's the Holy Spirit? How can I live and empower
and
a different life?
And that's the big, hard process that takes the whole life.
But there's that follow me stage where you're really grabbing hold of that and you're learning about who you are. And it does take your whole life in some ways. But in other ways, I feel like it's kind of like if you got a driver's permit, you turn 15 and a half, and you get your driver's permit. And if you just kept your driver's permit all of your life. That would be like staying in the follow me stage forever. You're just constantly reading and learning and reading and learning. But when are you going to drive the car?
That's the stage where there's probably a whole lot of aha moments. And oh no moments. That later it's more reminding moments.
And so you're growing, you're growing in your maturity. And so you have that follow me stage. And the next one that would be that he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so as you're learning who you are in Christ and you're learning your gifting, you're learning about the Bible, you're learning what holiness is, all those different things. The next thing is that he wants to send us, right? He wants us to be fishers of men and he's going to train us how to do that. And so we don't want people to just stay in that follow me stage. We want them to use their giftings and their abilities to bless the church and then also bless the community and speak truth into the lives of non-believers. And then the final stage there is being sent, right? And so you recognize that I am a sent one of Jesus Christ and I'm going to take somebody with me. Not only have I learned the follow me stage, you know, I came and see, I repented and believed, I've learned this follow me stage, I've been using my gifts, and there are people that have been, they've been involved in Bible studies and leading Bible studies, they've been involved in the community and food outreaches and different things for a long time, and what we encourage them to do is say, now find somebody to do it with you. And so we've kind of grabbed hold of that and run with it. And one of the things that came out of that, so the home aspect of making us, you know, the unique part of Hilltop, I would say one of the things is we really strive to be a holistic New Testament church. We don't want to just focus on one area. We want to see God's Spirit guide us in all those areas. And then home, we kind of ran with that and we said, okay, so the H in home is a heart of compassion. And so we understand the value of having a church home and realize God's kingdom is bigger than us. I'm reading a script here. We follow Jesus's radical self-sacrificing example to reach, comfort, love, and provide refuge to anyone God puts in our path. Mm-hmm. So whatever your background is, whatever's going on in your life, we really feel like Hilltop is a place where we're going to strive to love, to comfort, to have that heart of compassion and understanding for where you're coming from.
Grace.
Grace. So that H being the heart of compassion, the O in home is owning God's mission. And so we equip the saints for the work of service and we lead Christians to be spiritual contributors in Christ, not just consumers, but spiritual contributors in Christ. And so Jesus' mission to glorify the Father and seek and save the lost and make disciples, that's our mission as well. So we want to own God's mission and make that a big part of who we are. The M in home is to make spaces for all. And so this is one of the things that we've been working on our campus. There were actually some front door issues on our campus that made it hard for first-time visitors. There were some accessibility issues for people. Northern Nevada, there's a lot of retirement age folks. There's a lot of people with mobility issues. And so there were some issues there. And so making spaces for all is we want to create an engaging, accessible, multi-generational environment that's available for life-changing relationships with people from all walks of life. No matter who you are, God has a place for you and his family.
Yeah.
And so some of that's changing the way that our facility works, but some of that's, like I said, changing the way that we think as a family of God.
Yeah.
Right? We're looking to make spaces for everybody. And then the E in home is expecting God to act. And so we trust God to act on his promises. The spirit's lead will be characterized by confidence, clarity, boldness, and in taking increasing steps of faith. And so we take, we believe that we should take God-sized calculated risks.
I love
that. Walk by faith, not by sight.
Yep.
And so I would say that's kind of the DNA of where we want to go.
Cool.
And who the church is becoming in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that makes us unique or not, but well, it's definitely who we are and what we want to do.
Yeah, I think there's something unique about how intentional you are with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. And I really like the E, the expect. That is unique. A lot of times Christians get together, we hope God does something.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different when you get together saying, God shows up. When we get together to worship, God is uniquely here.
Right.
And we're going to go do things on purpose. And we're going to expect, we're not going to just hope he does. I mean, we're going to hope.
Right.
But we're going to expect him to show up.
Yeah. Well, and biblical hope, right? It's based upon God's character. It's based upon his promises.
Yep.
And so if God's promised that he wants to do big things by saving people, I think he's going to do that. If God's promised that he's going to give us a new identity and make us new creations and cause us to live holy lives that are then an example to the community and draw people in, and we're going to use our gifts to bless each other, I think he's going to do that. And so we have taken some, those God size calculated risks. It's not like we're just kind of putting the blinders on and hoping, and running through traffic, but it's like, where is God leading us? And if he's leading us there, I think he's going to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say God's work done God's way never lacks God's provision.
There you go.
So just walk in that direction.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So how is, you talked about the community and evangelism. How is Hilltop making a difference in the community here in Carson City and Carson Valley?
Yeah. So there's a handful of local missions that we partner with that I think are worth mentioning. And this kind of answers one of the questions you might ask later on resources and opportunities that people who follow Jesus in Northern Nevada. Well, we're going to answer two questions. This is two birds with one stone.
No, that's great.
And so we partner with City of Refuge. And so that's a home for women and teens that give an opportunity for pregnant women to find a safe shelter and an environment where they can raise their kids. So these are women that have been through difficulty coming out of a lifestyle maybe that wasn't the best lifestyle. And what City of Refuge does is it gives them an opportunity to have their child, raise their child, and be looked after for a while. But then it does more than that. It gets them on their feet, helps them find work.
Yep.
And so that's one of the things that we partner with. Child Evangelism Fellowship, Jacks Valley Elementary. There's a group that meets there after school during the year. And so that's after school program that is led by volunteers from Hilltop and partners with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And so the kids get an afternoon snack, they play some games, different things that happen, but then the gospel's incorporated.
That's great.
Into all of that as well.
Jacks Valley is the elementary school closest to here.
Yes.
And One of the things I would hope is that if there's any school in town that doesn't have a church digging into it, that maybe over time,
right,
other churches step and go, oh, there's one near us that nobody's...
I agree.
Think that's huge.
Yeah, I think that that's, and the needs that exist within our local schools are kind of surprising at times.
Yes.
And that varies from school to school. But wintertime, one of the big things that we do for Jacksonville Elementary is there's a tree, Stacy's tree. Mm-hmm. And so people donate, we'll ask the school, what do you need? They'll say, we don't have boots, we don't have clothes, we don't have coats, we don't have backpacks, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of students that are missing these things. And so we'll ask the congregation to donate those things, and then we donate them to the school, and then they get divvied up however that needs to happen.
And that is surprising how much of a need of just a jacket or shoes.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed.
Yeah. We've gone over a couple of times, and you see the kids that get a new pair of shoes for wintertime, and their shoes are falling apart, and their feet are wet. So some of the things that maybe we just take for granted, there are people that don't have them. And so that's one of the things that we like to do with Jacksonville Elementary. Oh, or maybe two of them. And then Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I really believe in FCA, and that's another group that we partner with. And we do our very best to make sure that they have what they need. So this year they started basically a youth group on Carson High's campus. Mm-hmm. So on Wednesday nights, they have a youth group on campus. To me, that's kind of mind-boggling a public school has a youth group that meets through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Tim Plummer's the local rep. Tim shared with me this week that just this last Wednesday, there were 38 kids there. 12 students made a decision, a commitment to follow Jesus at that event.
Wow.
And so we love to partner with them. We support them financially. I'm planning on speaking at that. I'm surprised they're going to invite you after not too long, I imagine.
We'll see.
I plan on speaking at one of the Wednesday nights, and but it's not just CHS. There's FCA at Sierra Lutheran. There's a FCA at Carson Middle School, Douglas, CVMS. And so we love to partner with them. The opportunity to reach the next generation in their schools is pretty cool.
I like that you're partnering with things already happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the neat things that we have this opportunity as different churches. I hear about similar things that are happening, but making those groups that are already doing something successful, City of Refuge, don't reinvent the wheel.
And that's kind of how we feel about it.
Yeah.
And these groups, I mean, there's three other ones on here that we're interactive with. One is Fish. I think a lot of people know what Fish do, and they're growing and changing in some cool ways. Life Choices, the Community Pregnancy Center, that's another group that we partner with. We have several members in our congregation, right? Like we talk about that Follow Me and then Make You Fishers and Men and Sent. There are several members of our congregation that's their ministry. They want to serve at Life Choices. Northern Nevada Dream Center, the food truck goes out once a month, and we have a team that there's actually two people. They were recently married, and they're heading up that food truck ministry, and we have anywhere from 5 to 15 volunteers that'll show up with them.
Wow.
To be a part of the Northern Nevada Dream Center food truck. In some ways, you know, there's all these great parachurch organizations within Northern Nevada.
Sure.
And partnering with them is a great opportunity.
Yep.
And you know, like we can have our own food closet and we could do that. But what we found is that these places are so good at it that partnering with them, it makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'd say those are some of the things that we do to be involved in the community. I'm sure I'm missing a few things as well.
No, that was great. And you did kind of cover a couple other questions in there. So that makes life easy. Yeah. But here's a question is, what do you think kingdom collaboration could look like between churches in our area? You know, again, this podcast, Kingdom Over Castle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. The castle is the church you go to, and you should love your church. Mm-hmm. You should give to your church. You should, that should be your favorite place.
Yeah.
But also a view of the kingdom, that how can we collaborate? What does that look like?
Yeah. So in working with Sierra Lutheran High School, you and I both helped teach there a little bit last year.
Yep.
I would say that you and I probably meet eye to eye on almost every theological issue. We might find one or two where we have a small difference, but for the most part, you and I are going to see eye to eye on those. It was interesting going into the Lutheran school because you have students from lots of different churches. You have students that don't attend church at all. And then the staff, it was very Lutheran, right? And
sure.
So their beliefs are very Lutheran.
Yes.
And some of those things I'd never heard. You know, yeah. I'd not been exposed.
You've never heard of Audie Offer before?
I don't even know what it is now.
Oh, well.
But,
you guys can all go look that up.
Yeah. but I've seen people take doctrine and use it as a wedge.
Yes.
And so I don't like that. I don't like it when doctrine becomes a wedge. This quote here, this guy says, "The Savior is the real center of Christian unity. Mm. Only by rallying around him can we catch the inspiration that is to make us one again."
Mm.
And so I think we need to rally around Jesus and his gospel.
Yeah.
You might have different views on end times than me. I'd love to, you know, I like talking about it. It's
absolutely
fun. And I like to gain understanding, but I don't need you to agree with me on that.
Yep.
I've interacted with other pastors in the area. They have different views on me than the sovereignty of God and the free will of man.
Yep.
That can be a wedge that divides us, or we could go, man, where do we come together? We rally around Jesus and his gospel.
Absolutely.
And so I think that being willing to say that the primary things are primary and the secondary things are secondary, and let's focus on that and don't let doctrine be a wedge, I think is really important.
Yep.
But I also think that there are a lot of needs within our community. And so like you look at the schools. When I was working as a youth pastor, we had a network of youth pastors that met, and we met specifically to kind of learn from each other.
Yes.
One of the other things that we meant to do was say, okay, who's going to FCA at Carson High? Who's going to FCA at Douglas? Who's going to FCA at CMS? And then we asked him, you know, Plumber, where would you like us to be? But we wanted to make sure that the schools had coverage. We wanted to make sure that there's an open door for us to be on that campus and minister to students. We want to be there.
Yeah.
And so I think that just being willing to say, let's make the primary things primary. And that's, we're going to rally around Jesus and his gospel.
Yes.
Then from there, let's figure out kind of how do we partner for what needs we know exist within the community.
Well, and the percentage of Jesus followers in our area is very low.
Right.
Arguably 5%, you know, depending on the stat you read, but it's right around there. But if that 5% showed up, if we knew all the needs, I think we could fill pretty much all of them.
Right.
And that's one of the things I'm hoping will happen through this, is that these needs will be shared on the website and elsewhere, and relationships form, and these needs become not big needs anymore, or ones that are filled.
Right. And so I just think a willingness to rally around Jesus and his gospel is the biggest thing there. And then being okay with, you have a different view on secondary theology than I do. We can still
totally
serve and love Jesus together.
Yep. So then what are your dreams? Looking at Hilltop Church, so back, what's specific about Hilltop? What are your dreams for the next, say, 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, so over the last 3 or 4 years, we've been going through kind of like, who are we as a church as we, as we look at kind of the transition that's just kind of natural. What's growing in the area? I mean, neighborhoods and schools and all these things are happening. And so just some of the things we've been working on is sort of organizing ourselves to be a place where, as the community grows, you can land here.
Sure.
And so that's kind of the internal thing that we've been working on. Some of that's changes to our facilities. Some of that's moving our staff around a little bit. Some of that's allocating, budget in different directions. And so we've been willing to shift and say some things need to change in order for us to be a place where people can land and have a home. But I think one of the things we just have to recognize is Northern Nevada is going to continue to grow. There's so many houses going in South Reno, apartment complexes. You guys had that apartment complex built right behind your old building. There's 120 houses or something going down the street.
Well, it's a great place to live.
Right.
I would want to move here if I didn't live here.
Right. We're growing. We're going to continue to grow. I don't know. I just think when you look at what the area needs, I think it needs Jesus-centered churches to be open and available have a desire to see new faces enter their doors.
And you're not the first one to share the need to adjust to be less or more inclusive. Not just, you know, we're friendly, but no, you can find family and home. Mm-hmm. That's a common church problem.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure problem, but that happens because we like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. How neat if more of our churches could feel home.
Yeah.
And Hilltop was one of those that, yeah, people land and stay.
And I think the other thing, and I didn't mention this in places that we partner with, but we're an association school with Sierra Lutheran, and we're an association school with Legacy Christian Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I there's so many public school teachers that attend Hilltop and our churches in the area, and they're doing an amazing work within the public school system, I also think that one of the things that's going to grow and change in our community is I know Sierra Lutheran, they hope to break ground next spring to add enough classrooms to go from a cap of about 125 to 200 students.
Right.
So they're looking to grow. Legacy Christian Academy, they haven't met their cap yet, but I think that that's a school that's going to continue to grow.
Absolutely.
And so I think one of the other things that churches can do is support Christian education. Support these local schools that have really wonderful people working at them. They have good vision. They really are a people that I think you can rally behind and support.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that hopefully grows.
I think that's insightful.
Yeah.
Actually, I think private school is going to need to grow.
Yeah.
And if you just heard about Legacy for the first time, there will be a link in the show notes. Like, I didn't know there was a new private Christian school that has space. That's the problem with the other ones.
Yeah.
They get full quick.
They do get full.
Yeah.
And there's also Bethlehem Lutheran. I mean, that's another school that's been around for a long time. And so I think it's neat that parents are going to have a couple options within private school to say, you know, maybe the Lutheran school is a fit for them. Maybe Legacy is a fit for them.
Yep.
There's only going to be the one private high school in the area for the time being. But if they grow, then you're going to have more opportunity for more students to land there.
Yep.
As somebody who's raising kids right now, you know, some of the things that our kids are dealing with, I would have never even thought of them
when
I was in middle school or high school.
Or 8 years ago.
Right, right.
Yep.
And so the culture is changing really fast. And I think that's another thing as you look at the vision for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I think churches need to be on the edge of understanding culture.
Yeah.
Not giving into it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like when we talk about the things that are primary, Jesus, his gospel, the authority of scripture, the Trinity, Jesus's deity. I mean, these are things that we don't back down from. And the authority of scripture is definitely one of those. And we shouldn't back down from those things. So I think we need churches that are going to be willing to say, we understand where the culture is going. We understand. Yep. Have you guys ever read what happened to the Jewish people before the fall of Jerusalem? It's like, this is nothing new under the sun here, guys.
Yeah.
We've all fallen for these false gods before.
So it's truth, but communication.
Right.
It's like a different language, honestly.
Right. And I think that is one of the things, if you know, you go on a short-term missionary trip and there's all these little things that maybe you don't understand, mm-hmm. even if the language is the same. I've been to Ireland and even within English, there were things I didn't understand what they were saying.
Yep, absolutely.
There were little cultural things that I didn't get. And so I think churches need to understand that as culture changes rapidly, it's almost like we're missionaries
absolutely.
In our own backyard. And we should be missionaries in our own backyard. But I mean in the sense of having to learn new culture.
Yes,
regularly.
Cross-cultural missions.
Right.
In our own, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true. So Kurt, as we wrap up, is there anything else you want to share about specifically about Hilltop? This is your chance to say, come join us, come check us out.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, I think one of the things I would say is if you're at your church home, love your church home.
Yeah, I love it.
And even if you're having a difficult time at your church home, stick it out, talk to leadership, be willing to walk up and have a hard conversation. I know that's very difficult for a lot of people.
Yes.
I'm wired to have difficult conversations. I know a lot of people aren't.
Yep.
But if you're having a hard time at your local church, I really encourage you to talk to your leadership. And I pray that they have a listening ear. So stay, if you're at your church, stay at your church. I got totally sidetracked. Love your church. Have the hard conversations with your leadership. But if you're looking for a place and you're saying, hey, you know, we haven't found home. Mm-hmm. That's really who we want to be. We want to be a home for the growing family of God. And so we want to see you grow spiritually. And we love to see our church grow in terms of more and more people, attending, connecting with each other. And yep. One of the things that I'll just pump it, September 12th, we already have a standing men's group that meets on Monday nights. The Monday night men's group started, right before COVID, and we met online for a while, and then we were like, we don't want to do this anymore. And so we've been meeting in person almost every Monday night for 2 years.
Wow.
And that group has seen between, you know, 30 and 50 guys show up. But there's a women's group starting that on Monday night as well. So Monday night women's.
September 12th.
September 12th. The men's group's already meeting, but the women's mm-hmm. group will start September 12th. And so there'll be childcare provided. And so maybe, I think one of the other things that I love about these groups like this, mm-hmm. some people, Sunday church, it feels a little intimidating.
Sure.
And I will just say we lower the bar on Monday night.
Yep.
We have a meal together. We then, there's a short Bible study where there's a group of people that do some teaching. The women's group is going to go through a book study. And then we have small group discussions. And the cool thing about the small group discussions is that's where you can ask any question you want to ask about God. There's mature people in all those groups that are willing to answer those questions. So yeah, I guess that's what I'd say.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. Well, if you want to know more, you can go to the website and that'll be in the show notes below. You can check that out. And service times are Sunday at what time?
We go 8:30 and 10:30 a.m.
8:30 and 10:30. And it's the church on the hill, hence right. Hilltop. Excellent. Well, thank you, Kurt, for joining us.
Oh yeah. Thanks right. for having me, Derek.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast. If your church is not represented on the website, we want to know about it. Please go to our contact form at our website, which is kingdomovercastlenv.com. Fill out the contact form, and we want to know about your church. We want to include you on the website so that people can find out about you. If you know of a serve opportunity in our area where believers can get behind whatever it is, please go to our website. Let us know about that. If your church wants to be included, and we hope you do, in our ongoing tracking of salvations in our area, please, again, go to our website at kingdomovercastlenv.com, fill out the contact form, and we will create an ongoing communication with you, with your church, so that we can know what God is doing. Serve opportunities, celebrations of salvations and baptisms, and all of that can be included on the website as well as on the podcast. So thank you for listening, and we want to know what God is doing. Thank you very much.
We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.